Today's reading is taken from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are new to him. Praise the Lord.
Nicola, thanks so much for reading. And can I add my welcome to Ed's? Great to see you. My name's Sam, I'm the Workers and Families Minister here. And if you could keep Psalm 148 open in front of you, that will help us as we look at it together. Last Friday, Fran and I came back from our holiday. We'd been down in Cornwall for a week with some of Fran's family. And I love Cornwall. I don't think you can beat the beaches down there. But it is a really long drive from London. I think last Friday when we came back was particularly bad. Because like us, all the other families thought, let's avoid the traffic on Saturday and go back on the Friday instead. And that completely backfired because we all did the same thing. And we were only about 15 minutes into the journey when our three-year-old, bless her, piped up from the back, are we there yet? Which is a question that I normally relate to children being deliberately annoying. I don't think that was her intention. I think in her mind, it was a perfectly reasonable possibility that we might have made it from Cornwall to London in 15 minutes. And it was not the last time she would ask that question. Over the course of the journey, I had to hold back my increasingly sarcastic, impatient responses, while Fran patiently said, not yet, a little bit further to go still. And it actually took us 13 hours, to get back to London. Yeah, good. I'm glad that you all sighed at that. Yeah. Like all good parents, we distracted our child with TV and sweets, and we made it back. But are we nearly there yet? Is not just a child's question, I think. A few weeks ago, Kev told us when we reached Psalm 145, that we had reached the final section of the Psalms, an epilogue of praise in response to the rest of the book, and it's the last leg of the journey. A praise finale. So here's a few things we've heard. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praise to our God. And again today, at the beginning and the end, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But are we nearly there yet? Psalms they're kind of easy to do over the summer because they are discrete units. If you miss 1 week because you're on holiday, you'd probably be able to pick things up again without too much difficulty, because it's not one continuous narrative. But maybe you haven't been away over the summer, in which case, week after week after week after week, I wouldn't be surprised if you were feeling just a little psalmed out. I'm not saying that's how we should feel about God's word, but I sort of empathize. I like new things, and the novelty of praise the Lord is probably starting to wear off. Another Sunday, another psalm, another praise the Lord. All right, we get it. We know that now. Are we nearly there yet? On one level, that highlights the inadequacy of my own praise life. Great is the Lord, and apparently greater than I really realize. He is greatly to be praised, and apparently more greatly than I'm inclined to do. That in itself, I think, has challenged me over this summer. But as I've been reading Psalm 148, it's not just repetition of the same thing over and over again. I think there is progression as well. If these psalms are the songs for the journey home, I think we are getting nearer and nearer to the final destination. Praise the Lord is not just the song for the journey. It seems to pretty well characterize the destination as well. We have quite a few ways of referring to our destination, don't we? So paradise, heaven, the kingdom of God, the new Jerusalem, the new creation. All those names help contribute to our understanding of where it is we're going. Psalm 148 describes not just a place, but an all-encompassing praise the Lord party, where every single thing in all creation is expected to join in the singing. And I don't know how you feel about that. If you are worried about whether you'll be able to keep the singing going all by yourself, well, don't panic, because actually the majority of our psalm today is not addressed to you at all. Verse 1 again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heaven and you waters above the heaven. So our first point today, not really to you at all, praise the Lord from the heavens. Sometimes when we sing in church, if, I don't know, the band is a bit small or people happen to be away, it can feel a little bit like you're singing all by yourself, especially in a building like this. You can't hear anybody else, and so you sing really quietly, just in case someone else heard you. Imagine not just that we were kind of bulked out with some backing singers, or even a full choir, 100 people strong, but that the introductions to the songs are being played by a full army of angels above us. Imagine that the orchestra of creation included the sun and the moon and the stars. And you don't need to worry about hitting those high notes with Carson, because the highest heavens have got those covered. They're going to belt those out for you. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Yet again, in the Psalms, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised because he is the creator. Just by his word, his decree, all these things exist and have their being. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, which is our second point. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. We've heard from the heights, and now let's hear from the deeps. Imagine a creation where the bass notes are sung by the creatures of the deep, where the weather itself provides the rhythm section as the fire crackles and the hail thunders and the stormy winds howl in agreement. Praise the Lord. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. The psalmist is like the conductor pointing to each section of the orchestra in turn as the melody continues to grow. It reminds me a little bit of a song we used to sing at my church when I was growing up. It goes like this. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That's what we used to do. And we used to sing it faster and faster and faster. It's the kind of song that would sort of whip everyone up into a frenzy. It's also the kind of song which makes you think that Christians are a little bit mad. Singing in church is part of us praising God. If you're somebody investigating Christianity today, I met someone last week who was just looking into what Christians believe. The Bible seems to think that singing would be a kind of very normal way for us to express how great God is and to remind each other and ourselves to keep believing it. And that's why we sing in church. You may have never really questioned that. But that means we don't just want to sing any random song. We do think about the songs that we sing. We should pick the songs because the words are actually helpful and true. This particular song that I've referred to, my friend sang it at his Christian union at university. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. It's a great song. Anyway, afterwards, somebody said, why are we singing this stupid nonsense about hills and mountains breaking forth into singing and trees clapping? Show me where that is in the Bible. Well, as it happens, it is taken almost word for word from Isaiah 55. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. There we go. It sounds a little bit like the hills are alive with the sound of music, doesn't it? Or maybe you prefer this one. Can you sing with all the voices of the mountains? Pocahontas. There you go. Obviously, mountains and hills can't sing. And trees don't have hands. But Jesus himself suggested that the very stones would cry out if the crowds did not praise him when he arrived as king in Jerusalem. The psalm isn't asking you to believe in nonsense about dancing trees. It's calling you to imagine a whole creation united by a single aim of praising the Lord. There's a sense in which creation does that now. So Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And the New Testament says that God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So there's a sense in which it does that now. But after a few weeks of horrendous wildfires and tornadoes and volcanic eruptions, it certainly reminded me that our future home includes, as Isaiah goes on to promise, a new heavens and a new earth. Perhaps Psalm 148 wants us to imagine that new creation singing in perfect harmony to its creator at last. I haven't even mentioned the rest of the animal kingdom, so 8.7 million different species of animals all get summed up in one verse. Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. I think verse 10 is supposed to be kind of all-encompassing. Like how it's described back in Genesis, when God created the sea creatures and the winged birds and the livestock and the creeping things and the beasts of the earth. You can tell just from the number of times the psalmist uses the word all. All his angels, all his hosts, all you shining stars, all deeps, all hills, all cedars, all livestock, and of course, all peoples. Verse 11. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. We have our part to play as well, and our voices are supposed to be lifted up with the rest of creation. And no particular suggestion here of any remaining hostility or opposition to that. No resistance or struggle from our created purpose, which again makes me think that this is a picture of arriving home. Tim Keller was an American pastor and author. He died a few months ago. And I have his daily devotions on the Psalms. He writes, when your soul through grace begins to praise God, you come into harmony with the rest of the universe. When your soul through grace begins to praise God, you come into harmony with the rest of the universe. You see, we are not actually some weird, old-fashioned, embarrassing corner of humanity with our strange, irrelevant beliefs. The church is the best foretaste you will get of humanity singing the song we were made to sing, the anthem of eternity, praise the Lord. And I think verses 11 and 12, they're supposed to be similarly all-encompassing. So from the king down, all peoples, all rulers, men and women, old and young. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. One Christian commentator wrote, the only potential bond between the extremes of mankind is joyful preoccupation with God. The only potential bond between the extremes of mankind is joyful preoccupation with God. It's where we find true unity. It's how we stop operating according to the labels and categories and ambitions which tend to divide us. One goal with all creation, praise the Lord. The world wants peace, but it refuses to believe this is what that looks like. The world wants unity, but it refuses to unite under God. And so this world might never come to pass, if not for verse 14. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. Our last point today is the king who unites heaven and earth. This is the reason that we as Christians have been brought back in tune. Whatever human-centered songs we might have been singing before, we can now join in with the soundtrack of the new creation, because God has raised up a horn for his people. What does that mean? Horns in the Bible are about power and might. Think of a bull's horns and that image of strength. But in this case, it seems to be a single horn, a specific horn. And so he's not raising up the horns of his people. He's raising up the horn of his people. And if you were here last week, Andy suggested that Psalm 147 made reference to Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel when it spoke of lifting up the humble and casting the wicked to the ground. God's speciality rescue, in other words, reversing fortunes. Well, Hannah also ended her prayer with a horn. She said, the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So God has raised up a king, great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, king of heaven and earth. He unites all creation in this song. He's the focus of praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. And it's a very fitting way to end the Psalms. Right back in Psalm 2, God's anointed was at the heart of bringing blessing to creation and to the human race. Blessed are all who take refuge in him, it said. Unless you have come near to Jesus, you will not want to join in with the singing, unless you define yourself as someone who has taken refuge in Jesus. You will not want to praise the Lord. But if you do believe in Jesus, I don't think the psalm wants to undermine your confidence. Like me, you may have felt during the psalms that they have exposed you as an inadequate praiser. If you have no desire at all to praise the Lord, then I suggest you go back to Jesus. Remember why we need a king and a rescuer and what that king has done for you. But I think the purpose of this psalm is to encourage you with a vision of home, where we will all praise the Lord without doubt, without reluctance, and without opposition. Back in Psalm 2, it said that the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. Now verse 11 expects the kings of the earth to praise the name of the Lord. That's quite a turnaround, isn't it? And we might even think, you know, that's too much. That's an exaggeration. The Psalms are just making a point about even kings and princes and rulers praising the Lord. But I pray that that doesn't just turn out to be hypothetical. Fran and I now have a tradition of going each year to hear Handel's Messiah at the Royal Albert Hall. I'm pretty confident that Handel must have been a Christian because he just displays quite good Bible handling. And I love it. We sit in a room with hundreds of people listening to the Bible sung, which is basically all it is. And even that is a long way short of the magnitude of this psalm. But it gives me something of the experience. It's a taste. And it does make me long for the real thing. I tried to add it up during the Hallelujah chorus. The word Hallelujah, praise the Lord, is sung 168 times. And there is still a tradition when the Hallelujah chorus begins that the audience stands up. And the legend goes that's because King George II was so moved when he heard it, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he himself stood up, and then everyone else obviously had to follow suit. And who knows if that's true? I really have no idea. But I think Queen Elizabeth II would have stood up to praise the Lord. Let's pray King Charles III will stand as well. Kings and queens of the earth, joining in with the new creation anthem that we can sing now. Praise the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. And he has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Let's pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful picture of all of creation coming together to sing your praises. Lord, it's truly amazing that this wonderful picture of all of creation coming together is written in your word for us. And Lord, we pray that this would truly excite us about what the new creation will be like when we can join with in praise with you and with your people. Heavenly Father, we thank you that all peoples and all rulers will one day come together to praise you as well. And Lord, even though it feels like we're not quite there yet, because the wall can feel broken and there's still so much sin happening in this world, we thank you that you have come and you have raised up a horn for your people, a king who unites heaven and earth to sing your praises. And so, Lord, we just pray that on this journey home, as we continue to fix our eyes on you, we pray that this psalm will be an encouragement to us to continue to sing your praises, for your name alone is to be exalted, and your majesty is above the earth and the heavens. Father, we turn now to think about the wildfires in Hawaii, the violent attacks on Christians in Pakistan, and the ongoing persecution in North Korea. Father, amidst all that is happening in this world that is really discouraging and can make our hearts feel really weak, Father, we pray that we will fix our eyes on how amazing and how splendorous you are. And Father, just pray for our brothers and sisters who are really struggling at this time, that they may be able to find encouragement in the fact that you have sent your son Jesus to save them, and that they will be able to enjoy an eternity in heaven with you. Father, we just pray that you'll be able to help us to love and to think about our brothers and sisters in this time. And Father, pray that we will be continuing to sing your praises on this journey home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.